can I say anything that he hasn't already said this morning? I've called this sermon, or whatever you want to call it, New Year, New Day, New You. Because there's a transformation going on in the body of Christ. Nadia spoke last week, and in part of it, when a number of you got together and was just praying before the new year, just one word that God would give you for 2019. And while she was saying that, God gave me the word separation. But I know that it's not just for me, that that's actually something that he is doing in his body. And that's partly what I want to speak about this morning. Romans 12:2 says this, and this is from the Classic Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Now the... Yes, absolutely. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So conformed there actually says to conform oneself, i.e. one's mind and character, to another's pattern. Fashion oneself according to. So to be conformed to something, you have to already be something to then conform yourself to something else. Transformed is to change into another form, to transform, to configure or transfigure. And that's actually the same word that is used in Matthew 17 that when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's the same Greek word of how he was transformed, how he displayed himself, and the disciples bowed down and just said, wow. And I think that's actually also what happened in the garden when they came to him to arrest him. And they said, you know, are you Jesus? And he said, I am. And they just were all out. I think he just went, and he just actually revealed who he was on the inside. And they just went, whoa. And that's what he's doing with us. And he's doing it through his word. This is it in the Passion. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Yes, that's it. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. It's a transformation through separation. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We had a number of words about trains, and it's coming to the station, and it's all change. And we have a saying, oh, I've lost my train of thought. And I think it's actually God, it's a play on words, and God is saying, you've got to think differently. You've got to start thinking and imagining differently. So you have to get off that train of thought that's taking you to the destination, that destination that you keep on ending up at, and you think, I don't want to end up here. And he's saying, have a different thought.
Come on.
Get off that train. Get on a different one that I have for you. And he's doing that through his word. And I know that each one of you individually, he is giving you words that he is breathing on, that he's taking that sword and he is dividing between your soul and your spirit. Your very nature. He's talked about it this morning. Your nature. He is making that division. He's wanting us to live out of our spirit, our nature that is completely and utterly unified with him and living out of that place. John and Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That doesn't mean you just get on your knees and say sorry. Repent actually means have a different thought. Think differently. Change your mind. So coming back to Hebrews 4:12. This is in the Amplified. For the word of God speaks, is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and shifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. I never really got, sorry, what's the difference between joints and marrow? What's that? Well, the marrow is actually your nature. That's your very lifeblood is created in the marrow. And your joints actually are used to nurture your body. So he's saying, I'm bringing division between what is nature and nurture in you. There's a scripture that says that the word of God, that every word is God breathed. I'm not sure that in English that's quite the correct translation. I think it's that every word that God is breathing upon. Because I know that there are certain scriptures at the moment that have far more life on them for me than others do. And I know that that is the case for you guys as well. But if you don't have a scripture like that, then ask him to give you one, because I know that he wants to give you one. He wants to bring that sword. He wants to bring that separation. He wants to bring that division in your thought life, in the way that you've been thinking, in your imagination. Because there is an absolute onslaught on our nature in society right now. It's a full frontal assault. And it dates all the way back to the garden. It's a simple question that the enemy is asking, and people are falling into the trap. Has God said? We have to take every thought captive. So we have to go to war on that and say, yes, he has said. And this is the truth. So for example, and I know this one has been used, but it's becoming one of my all-time favorites at the moment. Psalm 16, verse 3. For as for the godly, the saints, that's you and me, who are in the land, they are the excellent, the noble, and the glorious, in whom is all my delight. I love that. God is a totalitarian. That's another sermon. All my delight. Not some, not most, not today, but probably not tomorrow. All my delight. There is no room for disappointment or disapproval. And if you take this actually one scripture alone and meditated on it, I think it would transform us. Because it would actually expose the lies that we have been nurtured in, that he is saying, and he is bringing separation. He's saying, that is not how I see you. You are excellent. So you could actually say to yourself, he calls me your excellency. He calls me nobility. He calls me glorious. He is delighted in me. Wow. This is the passion. And he said to me, my holy lovers are wonderful. My majestic ones, my glorious ones, fulfilling all my desires. So who in this country is called Your Majesty? The Queen. You are royalty. He calls you majestic. So he calls you royalty. A royal priesthood. A kingly priesthood. Psalm 103, verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit and corruption? Has he redeemed your life from the pit and corruption? Okay, so this scripture is about you, yes? Who beautifies? There are scriptures that talk about the beauty of holiness. So if he beautifies you, you're holy. Who dignifies, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. There was a coronation in heaven. That coronation was your coronation. You have been crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 7. And you he made alive who were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world. There we go again. We were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under control. of the spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purpose of God. Amongst these, as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature. There it is again. Obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind. Our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings or thoughts. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. Whew, that's bad. But, praise God, God, so rich in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Let's just drink that in. So rich is his mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life which he quickened him, for it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which we did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. I think all I would need to do is read that for the next 20 minutes. Just to let it wash over us. Just convince us, persuade us, saturate, even infect us. Actually change the way that we think about ourselves and how he sees us, how he looks upon us. Because that's how that's the revealing of the sons of God, those ones that actually say, yes, I am like you. Yes. That is not an arrogant statement. It's actually humility. It's arrogant to say, no, I think I know better. That can't be right. No, it is the truth. It is the truth, and we have to give ourselves to the truth and not be persuaded otherwise. So 2 Corinthians 5, 17, 18. This is really well known, but therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Not he is becoming a new creature. The old things passed away. that went into the grave with Christ. I know that if these ladies had gone to that garden and could actually see in the spirit, they probably would have backed out of that tomb because they would see it was crowded. Because it's full of all humanity. When Christ died, humanity died. We died with him. Amen. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So the word there, new, when it says he is a new creature, it says freshly made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn. You are brand new. And reconciled there. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself. Is to receive one into their favor. He has received us into his favor. He favors us. You share his nature. He has given it to you. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So this is, brings us to the word that Thelma brought. Being totally given, possessed by him. Yes. Till recently, the word possessed for me was a dirty word. It was something about occultic, but actually no. I want to be possessed by him. Because I am his possession. That's it. I was created by him and for him. And in fact, he is the only one that is worthy of all of me.
That's right. That's right.
I diminish myself when I give myself to other things. Because I am so incredible, because I share his nature, his DNA. I share his perfection, his completeness, his beauty, his wonder. I don't even like using the word awesome anymore. I'm awful. God is down with the kids. He's awful. Because he's full of awe. Karen read this a while back, and it is absolutely and utterly true. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, because you're not. To say you're inadequate is to say that God's inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous, wonderful, amazing? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people don't feel insecure around you. You are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. The majesty, the excellence, the nobility, the purity, the holiness, the grace, the mercy, the love, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness. It is not in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. That's a kingly priesthood. Kings that function as priests. A holy nation. A people for God's own possession. Other versions say precious possession at that point. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, Lord. I have to get a grip on this. I have to believe this. He celebrates you. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. The procession through London when it's the end of the Olympics or the FA Cup is nothing. Because he is doing that all the time. He celebrates you as a trophy, yes, but there is another aspect to it that actually he leads and is at the head of the procession that is celebrating you as victorious. And through us spreads and makes evidence the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. I lost the scripture verse to this one, but this one is, I think this is in Colossians. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Thank you, God, that you're holding me together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, there you go, there's your thoughts again, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. The word for mind there is way of thinking and feeling. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get hold of these scriptures. Say them over yourself. Yeah, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that I'm majestic. I don't believe that I'm excellent. You don't have to right now, but if you apply them, the water of the word will wash you. It will bring division. It will transform you. You put on the mind of Christ. He presents you holy. That word there means a most holy thing, a saint. So you can take this scripture and you can apply it to Psalm 16:3. Oh, I'm not a saint. Well, actually, yes, you are. Blameless, morally without blemish, faultless, unblameable. The accuser has nothing on you because Jesus paid it. He became the curse. Everything, it says the handwriting, everything that God has written down that he has against you, he put it on his son on the cross. That is why now he sees you and looks upon you like this, beyond reproach, that cannot be called into account, unreprovable, unaccused, blameless. We're the ones who receive the accusations, who attain, not attain, that's not the word I'm looking for. We're the ones who consider the accusations made against us because we're fully aware of what we do that we think God is disappointed with. Actually, he's not disappointed because he delights in you. All his delight is in you. You're faultless. You're without blemish. That is how he presents you every day. Tomorrow, that is how he will present you. He doesn't call you into account. I wouldn't be standing here if God called me to account. None of us would. But Jesus was willing to take our place. Willing to be separated from the Father. That is why I adore him. He died that I might live. He died that I might consider myself dead to sin and alive to God. As I said, I could just keep on reading these scriptures over and over again. And that's what we need to do. And we need to agree with them. And not ask for them to be reality, but actually declare and proclaim them. I am righteous. I am reconciled. I am holy. I am beautiful. Because that is the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. So I'm going to read this again. Father, I give you permission to transform me. because I am not my own. I am your precious possession. You own me. And I want to be fully owned and possessed and infected and consumed with you. Because that is who you created me to be. Kneel before you. Even my name is a play on words. And I didn't get that until recently. So no longer do I want to be inadequate or entertain inadequate thoughts or attitudes or emotions. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You share his DNA. You share his nature, for he has given it to you unreservedly. He has held nothing back from you. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people don't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. We are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others. So as Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me and this company upon this hill that overlooks this land. Let it be to us according to your word, your will, your thoughts.